Activia International and www.netivyahinternational.org.
Shalom, my name is Joseph Shulam. I am the retired director of Netivia Bible Instruction Ministry in Jerusalem and of Netivia International in the USA. Netivia International is a new name for Netivia USA because we have had a development in the world, not with us, of the growth of anti-Semitism to over 200%. It worries us. It more than worries us. It alarms us. Why does it alarm us? It alarms us not because we are Jewish disciples of the Messiah, of Yeshua, of Jesus. He is the most important Jew in the history of Judaism. He is the only Jew who spread the Torah, the Word of God, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament around the whole world. If you go to the center of the Amazon, I've been there, and you ask those Indians still living very much like they did 1,000 years ago, Guarani Indians. And you ask them, do you know David Ben-Gurion? No. Do you know President Reagan? No. Do you know George Washington? No. Do you know Napoleon Bonaparte? No, we don't know. But do you know Yeshua? Jesus? Oh, es nosso Salvador. He's our Savior. We know him. And because they know Yeshua, they know Israel. And because they know Israel, they love Israel. Because they read about it in the Bible. Yes. He is the most important Jew in Jewish history. He may not be the most important Jew for Christian history because Christians don't realize that he is a Jew. Circumcised on the eighth day. Bar mitzvah when he finished 12 years old, became 13 years old. Worshipped in the temple, went to synagogue. He wasn't a Baptist, he wasn't a Methodist, he wasn't a Church of Christ, he wasn't Seventh-day Adventist. He was a Jew. He died as the King of the Jews. But today I want to share with you a very special story. When I returned with my wife to Israel in 1969, after finishing college at David Lipscomb University in Nashville, Tennessee, with some wonderful teachers. Actually, my teachers got fired on the day of my graduation from the university. Why did they get fired? Because I discovered that the president was a Greek scoundrel who knew how to speak Greek rhetorics. Of course he knew how to speak. He knew how to say things that he wanted to say in order to win the favor of the people. But essentially, he did what he wanted to do, which wasn't so good. And I discovered it. Yep. And shared it with my Hebrew class. I had a modern Hebrew class of 4 professors. One was a psychology professor, and one was a communications professor. Or business professor, I should say, and the other were Bible teachers. And I shared them, I asked them, where does a president go to church? We don't know. Well, one of the professors, George Howard, that got kicked out from Lipscomb and became the head of the Bible and Philosophy Department in the University of Georgia for many, many years, decades. The whole of Lipscomb campus was 6,000 students. University of Georgia at that time was like 40,000, maybe 50,000 students. And the Department of philosophy and religion that he headed was probably bigger student body than what he, the whole student body of David Lipscomb at that time. So he got kicked out. John McRae, great professor, one of my best teachers in Lipscomb University. He got kicked out because he was a part of this that discovered that the president was not going to church. He was staying at home on Sunday mornings or going to a Presbyterian church on Woodmont Avenue in Nashville, Tennessee. But most of the time he was taking a walk with Johnny Walker. Well, whatever it was, and they got kicked out. I graduated, returned to Israel with my wife, and in the early 1970s, returned to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, I went to the post office. I met a friend of mine named Albert. Grew up together in the same neighborhood. And he asked me, "Joe, do you still believe all this nonsense about Jesus?" I said, "Yes, let's go to a coffee shop and talk about it." He said, "I'm not talking to you about Jesus." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because when you believed in Jesus, you knew nothing about Judaism." Which was true. I grew up in a very secular, atheist home . On Passover, my parents celebrated, but they celebrated with pork chops. And they grilled the pork chops on the porch, and we lived on a very important street called Bethlehem Road, one of the main streets in that part of town. They grilled the pork chops on the porch, on ground floor, so that everybody will know that they don't give a hoot for Judaism, for religion in general. So I really didn't know anything about Judaism when I believed in Jesus. I knew about Christianity because there was an assignment in school to write a paper about how Christianity began. There were several assignments. Four students got this assignment, and I was one of them. And I didn't know anything about it, so I turned to the Hebrew Encyclopedia, read about it. To make the whole story short, after Albert told me, "I'm not going to talk to you until you study about Judaism." So that same day, I went to the closest ultra-Orthodox academy, yeshiva, where people study and become rabbis. And I studied there 4 years. Had a wonderful experience with a wonderful rabbi. And enjoyed the fellowship. A lot of the Jewish studies in the Orthodox yeshiva are fellowship. You study alone a little bit, but most of the time you study with a buddy, we study with a friend, and that friend becomes your partner in the studies. Okay, we studied. So one day the rabbi announced that we are going to restore the city of where Amos was the prophet. I think he was born and raised there. And I had a car, a Volkswagen, and I loaded it with two old men in the back and another friend in the front, and we in a caravan drove to the West Bank and came to the city just below Bethlehem and looked around the archaeology. I studied archaeology before that in my undergraduate degree in the Hebrew University. Looked around in the archaeology, and we found a huge one-piece carved baptistry, octagonal baptistry. That means that there was a church there, probably Byzantine church in the 4th, 5th, 6th century AD. Okay, On the way back from Tkoa, from Amos' city, two old Orthodox guys sat behind me, older than I was by far. And they were nosy. What can I say? Jews are nosy normally. They want to know everything. They want to find out everything. So these two dug into the pockets of my Volkswagen, back of the seat on my Volkswagen, and found booklets that I printed earlier, correspondence course in Hebrew, evangelistic correspondence course about the Messiah, about Yeshua. They started talking among themselves in Hungarian. They thought that I don't know Hungarian. I understood Hungarian. My next door neighbors were Hungarian, and I spent a lot of time with them. They were around my age. One was a little younger, one was a year older, and we were together in many, many things that Israeli youth do at that period. So they're looking and talking. Oh, this is about Jesus in Hungarian. I wonder, does he believe in Jesus? Let's ask him. The guy says, no, it's not polite not to ask him. The older guy says, his name was Joseph. The younger guy was David. Both of them were very old. Both of them were survivors of death camps in Germany during World War II. And so the older guy named Joseph says, tell me, do you know about this booklet? Who wrote it? I said, I did. You did? Oh, wow. It's very interesting. Yes, it's very interesting. I wrote it because I believe in it. Well, we dropped the other Jew that was sitting next to me in the front by the yeshiva in Mount Zion. And I was afraid that these old guys are going to beat me up. They're ultra-Orthodox. They're going to beat me up. It wasn't the first time that I got beat up, and not the last time either. So I decided to not let them off anywhere where there is no people. I took them to the main square, to Zion Square, downtown Jerusalem. There's lots of people all the time there. And I told them, okay, get out of my car. They got out of my car. The next day, I'm in the yeshiva, and the old man Joseph calls me and says, you know what? We also believe in Yeshua. Ah, you do? Wow, hallelujah, praise God, hugs. Instant brotherhood. And that's what happens if you believe in Yeshua. Instant brotherhood with those that believe in Yeshua. And you don't care if they're Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Catholics. No. There's no such a thing. There's only one body of Christ. And like Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors of ice cream, it's all ice cream but different flavors. It's okay. We're not judged by the flavors. We're judged by the cream that makes the ice cream. Instant brothers with two Orthodox Jews and the first Orthodox Jews that we shared. Well, we started a Bible class in our house. 1 month later, terrible persecution happened. Joseph got beat up. The old man got beat up at the Wailing Wall because people found out that he believes in Yeshua as the Messiah. A lot of history. I'm going to skip it to get to the core. Now, what was the story of Joseph? The two brothers were separated. One was in Bergen-Belsen. Joseph was in Bergen-Belsen. And the younger brother was in another concentration camp called Dachau. So, Joseph, how did you become a believer? in Yeshua. He said, I became a believer in Yeshua in the Bergen-Belsen Nazi concentration camp. Well, how was that? So, well, we were marching from Budapest to the north to divide the large population of Jews from Budapest, Hungary, among several different camps. And I was in Bergen-Belsen. Well, how did you become a believer in Jesus? He said, on the way, it was winter, January, and I saw a dead Orthodox Jew on the side of the road. And he was holding something from leather in his hand, and I thought it was his billfold, his wallet. So I bent down without the German seeing me and picked up that leather thing. But when I got to the camp, I opened it up. It was a New Testament in Hungarian. But the guy was an Orthodox Jew, I said. He said, yes, but he must have believed because he died with this in his hand. It must have been very precious for him to take it out of his bag, his satchel, whatever he had, and hold it in his hand as he was dying. I read it, and suddenly I realized that Jesus was a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, and he kept the commandments, and he read in the synagogue from the Torah when he was bar mitzvahed, and I understood that Jesus is not only the Messiah from thousands of years ago, but he is still the Messiah of the Jewish people and the only hope for the Jewish people. First of all, to be true Jews, he says, because he didn't teach Christianity. There is no Christianity in the New Testament at all. He taught Jews to be better Jews than Gentiles, to join with Israel, fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham and to Moses, and be a part of the people of God. So he preached to me about 20 minutes. We both ended up crying and hugging. So what happened in the camp, I asked him. He said, well, we were in the camp. We were about 70 people sleeping in a room that was probably 4 by 4 meters. One on top of the other, like books in a bookshelf. And I was reading that book, the forbidden book. Jews shouldn't be reading that thing. That's what the rabbi said. But when I started reading it, I couldn't let it down. So what happened, Joseph? Well, the winter came and things were really hard and tough. And I didn't know where my brother is. And so I escaped the camp, Bergen-Belsen, in the winter of 45, January of 45. I had no coat, no blanket, no food. So I started eating things that I found in the forest. Frozen berries and barks from trees and whatever I could find. But I was really feeling very sick, and I decided that if I don't find some place to be warm and to find some food or some blankets, I will probably not survive. So I started walking. I started walking and I see a house, a hut. Smoke is coming out of the chimney. I decide to go and knock on the door. I knock on the door, nobody answers. I knock some more, it's very loud inside, and an SS high officer opens the door and said, "You're a Jew, you escaped from the camp." I said to him, "I'm hungry, I'm cold." He said, "You escaped from the camp." I said to him, "I am hungry and cold." The German officer, SS officer, said to me, "Mister, wait here." I thought he's going to go and get his gun and shoot me. It would have been better than trying to die in the forest alone, tortured by cold and by hunger. He came back and he said, "Hitler is at many kilometers away from here. He doesn't know what's going on here. Today is Christmas and it's also Hanukkah." Same day. So wait here. He comes back, he brings me food, and he says, "There is a barn over there, go and sleep there on the hay." And I stayed with that group of Nazis until the Russians came few months to liberate us. Maybe a month, maybe more, he said. And I had that book with me. And I understood that not all the Germans are bad. And not even all the Nazis are bad. And I thanked God. Years later, after we established a congregation in Jerusalem, the first Messianic congregation that was not a part of any mission, any denomination, any church. Yes, I studied in the David Lipscomb University that was associated with the Churches of Christ. And I went to high school in Georgia because I got kicked out from my home in a Church of Christ high school in South Georgia, near Valdosta. But I never joined the church. I never became a Baptist or a Protestant or a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Methodist. No, I remained a Jew through and through, like Peter and Paul and John and Andrew. But belonged to the community, to the church, to the ecclesia, to the synagogue of the disciples of Rabbi Yeshua ben David, son of David, ben Abraham, son of Abraham, as the Gospel of Matthew starts. But this story is very touching because we have started doing a series on anti-Semitism. There's anti-Semitism in this story. Joseph, with thousands and thousands of Hungarian Jews from Budapest and the area of Budapest, went to an extermination camp to be exterminated. But instead of that, from a dead Jew that just held in his hand, as he's dying, a leather-bound New Testament in Hungarian, he got saved by reading the word. He got saved, folks. He didn't know about a lot of things that believers do. But he did know one thing better than most believers, most Christians that I know. And that is that Yeshua, the Jew, the King of the Jews, saved his soul and his life in this occasion. He knew that very well, more than most believers that I know, Jews and non-Jews. And he worked it out till the last day of his life. I had a built-in hate for Germans. My father was in jail in Berlin. My mother was in a labor camp, not a death camp, because Bulgarians, thanks to the chief rabbi who was a believer in Yeshua himself, Rabbi Daniel Zion, the Jews of Bulgaria were not sent out of the borders of Bulgaria. That was a decision that the king of Bulgaria, King Boris, achieved in the Wannsee Conference that decided the extermination of the Jews of Europe. So I had more hate for Germans and Germany than Joseph did. And he was there. He was in a concentration camp. When Germans came to visit us in our congregation, and we still have a lot of wonderful, wonderful brothers and supporters from Germany. When Germans came to visit us in our congregation, Joseph was the first to hug them and welcome them and as if he was receiving angels. Germans who many years after the war came to Israel to meet, to see, to fellowship, to sing, to worship with Jewish disciples of Jesus. But that Nazi officer, SS officer, that was in that hut, I guess I should say, on the evening of Hanukkah and Christmas, that saved the life of Joseph Wachter, and fed him in the barn and let him sleep in the barn of that farmhouse that was occupied by the SS, and they were having a party inside for Christmas, I guess, not for Hanukkah. But he knew that it was Christmas and Hanukkah at the same time, that officer. There are Nazis. There were Nazis that know their debt and their obligation to the Jewish nation that gave them the Savior, the Jew, the King of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth. Now you, listeners, those who watch this video, I have two requests from you. First of all, if you see anti-Semitism or you hear about anti-Semitism in your environment, stand for the Jewish people. Stand for Israel. Because standing for Israel is standing for Jesus. Standing for Yeshua. Second, share the fact that you cannot be a disciple of Yeshua and at the same time hate his Jewish brothers. You should do everything to show them love, to fish them into the kingdom. Yes. Be nice. Be loving. Be supportive. Be defending them, not persecuting them. I was shocked almost 4 years ago when the candidate for the presidency of the United States of America refused to condemn neo-Nazis marching in North Carolina or South Carolina, I don't remember, it's one of the Carolinas, and shouting terrible slogans against the Jews in the 21st century, folks. And I didn't hear any big-time pastor, television evangelist, condemn it. No, I didn't. And I looked for it. So I am trying to mobilize true disciples of Jesus that know Him, that have fellowship with Him, that appreciate Him as the Messiah, the Son of God. But it's not enough to appreciate Him. Stand with the Jewish people. Support our ministry that has taken upon itself to fight anti-Semitism internationally. The name of the ministry is nativiainternational.org. Go there. Contribute. Help. Help us fight anti-Semitism. Not only with videos, but with actions, with support for others, maybe Orthodox Jews, maybe non-Orthodox Jews, maybe not Jews at all, who understand how important it is for Israel to exist, how important it is for Jewish people to know that they have love and support from Christians that know Jesus, the King of the Jews. That was written on his cross above his head. So please, go to Nativia International. Donate money. Share this video with others. And help us fight anti-Semitism with articles, with books, with videos, with preaching in churches, with congresses, conferences. We just had a conference talking exactly about this in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, with more than a thousand people participating from all over South America, Central America, and from Europe also, Portugal and Romania even. So yes, this is a war, and it's a war for the survivor of the biblical Christian faith. Not the one that was born in Rome and graduated in Germany and in Switzerland and in Holland and in Scotland. No, the one that was born in Jerusalem and Yeshua is returning to Jerusalem as a Jew. Yes, please. God bless you all, and shalom. I shall return, as MacArthur said in the Philippines. I shall return, and he shall return. That's more important than me. God bless you all. Thank you. Don't forget, stand with Israel. Stand with the Jews. Defend the Jews in your city if they're under attack. Verbally, politically, on television, in the newspaper, or in the streets. Stand with the Jews, stand with Israel.
Nativia International, www.netivyahinternational.org.